It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Welcome back. Hour number 2 of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. I'm dragging this afternoon. I'm dragging a little bit, Barry.
Go ahead and crack your can. How's the podcast going over there, by the way?
It's going great. No, we have had deer sounds today.
Boom! We've had what?
Deer sounds.
Always.
Yeah.
We're going to have to come to an understanding about that.
Yeah, the understanding is, it's really funny.
It's hilarious.
Tucker Harlan sitting in for Marcus Young, who has the day off, staking his claim to the Wallace Award. Tucker's first ever shot at the top four at Ford's, brought to you this afternoon by our friends at Malone and Costa Dentistry at Knoxville Smiles. Tucker Harlan, take it away.
Thank you, Russell.
You're welcome.
All right, at number one, Notre Dame Athletics Director Jack Swarbrick is stepping down after 16 years at the position. NBC Sports Group Chairman Pete Bevacqua, I believe is how you say his name.
Matthew Bevilacqua.
Yeah, is expected to take over the position.
Not even paying attention. Great Sopranos reference there. You just,
I was trying to find where the Yankees game's streaming. Sorry. What about Bevilacqua?
It's the new athletics director at Notre Dame. We can have some fun with that over the years, right?
Yeah, the Bevilacqua kid. Did you tell him about the Bevilacqua kid? Did you give him that? Did you give him Bevilacqua? Please, Tony, not in the face.
Are you rattled? We interrupt you?
I'm not rattled. Okay. No.
All right.
You're looking at me like you're a little shook.
I'm not shook at all.
Good.
Intern
Ice water
Drew
in his veins.
Was incredible at picking out good kickers, by the way.
Good kickers? Oh.
Like funny stuff to talk
he was,
about.
Yeah, he's good.
He was a good top four and top five.
I don't know
go
what
ahead.
That has
there.
To do with anything, right. But go ahead.
At number two, the NBA Finals rolled on last night. The Denver Nuggets defeated the Miami Heat 109-94 in Game 3 of the NBA Finals in Miami. Nikola Jokic had a triple-double of 32 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. Jamal Murray also had a triple-double of 34 points, 10 boards, and 10 assists. Earlier today, SportsCenter tweeted out that Jokic right now is leading everyone in the playoffs in points, assists, and rebounds. And if he stays ahead of everybody else, if he stays at his current pace, he would be the first to lead in all three for a full postseason ever.
You're not in on Jokic. What do you have against Jokic, Bear?
Charlie Collier.
Just what?
Collier wants to anoint him as the greatest.
Everybody wants to anoint him.
Collier got a little silly with it last week on Twitter. And it's done that
and
thing.
And that's like colored your perception of him. Like
yeah.
You can't analyze it independently.
Oh, sure.
A guy you work with that you see maybe once every 3 weeks likes him, and therefore you can't like him. So weird. So bizarre.
He just went so over the top with it that, you know, I mean, Charlie, I'm waiting for Charlie any day to start lobbying for this guy to be the new silhouette image of the NBA logo.
At number three, the Phoenix Suns have released Chris Paul. According to Chris Haynes of Bleacher Report and TNT, Paul plans to play for several more seasons and is eager to help a team win a championship.
He's eager to win a championship himself.
Well, he got blocked back in the day. I'd forgotten all about that until somebody brought that back up last night. You remember when the NBA blocked him from going to the Lakers?
Yeah.
To play with Kobe?
Yeah. That was strange. Whatever happened there.
What did happen there? Do you remember?
No, I don't know. It's probably really confusing. If somebody could explain it, we still wouldn't understand. But I think he's at just total ring chase mode, right? I mean, he's done everything. He seems like a smart guy. I don't think he needs the money. He's probably invested well.
You know, to me, I feel like he's like a Matt Ryan type figure a little bit in the NBA. Guy that
that's good.
You can consistently get to the playoffs, but you just know he's not going to do anything there.
Well, if I were him, I would just pick out. It's like, where can I go to get a ring? Because that's all I'm missing at this point.
Denver, maybe.
Denver, Miami, Milwaukee.
Possibly Boston, maybe.
Maybe Boston. Yeah,
It feels like Boston is in self-destruct mode right now, or they're just trying to clean house after the season's over. We'll see.
That'd be beautiful to watch Marcus's descent into madness if they rebuilt, you know.
Titans are bad. Celtics get bad.
I don't think it'll calm down. It's frustrating right now, but they'll reasonable heads will prevail. They'll be back. They'll be fine.
And finally, at number four, we'll just call this news out of the Northeast. The White Sox-Yankees game yesterday and the Tigers-Phillies game yesterday were postponed due to the poor air quality in the Northeast due to Canadian wildfires. Today, horse racing at Belmont Park and the Diamondbacks-Nationals game have been postponed as the smoke has made its way further to the south.
So it's just coming down the coast.
Yep.
Are we going to get it down here eventually, or will it dissipate?
The reports on it I saw, they had some ocean, you know, one of those people from the...
No, go ahead. No, so try and explain it like you know what you're talking about.
They had some kind of weather person. They had this, you know, a
meteorologist?
Future radar.
Oh, yeah.
They said the smoke's going to move out over the Atlantic sometime in the next 24 hours.
I hope it does. I don't want it to come down here.
Most smoke. Breathing that in. The street lights came on in New York.
Bonnaroo last year.
Yeah.
I don't think that much gets smoked. It's just people vaping everywhere.
I'm not a grass expert.
Isn't that weird, man? I mean, call me old-fashioned, but back in my day, kids used to actually smoke their dope. You'd twist one up. You'd roll up a fatty, a blunt. You'd fill that bowl, your bong. You'd spark it with a lighter. You'd blow smoke. Now these kids, they don't even smoke.
Yeah, they just vape in the bathroom during
lunch.
What
happened to these kids?
That's what they do now.
I'm not a grass expert.
It smells like the cereal aisle at the store. It's like all fruity flavored.
I think they had to get rid of the fruity flavor because it was like too addictive or something. I don't know.
It was marketed to children is what that one was.
If you're going to get high, set something on fire. I mean, that's just me.
Burn a fatty for the hype daddy like Joshy Boy says on Voluntary Reaction.
Oh, man.
All right. That's it.
Thank you. Tucker Harlan. How would you grade that for a first ever top four at four, Bear?
I would have given him a solid B, but I'm going to go A- simply because of the brevity of it. We got done in under 10 minutes.
It was short. It was sweet.
To the point.
You know, maybe you could say that the NBA Finals was yesterday's news.
Yeah.
But we haven't talked about it. So I'll kind of let it slide. I feel like the Chris Paul thing broke it. Maybe timeliness we can work on a little bit.
We were talking about deer yesterday while that
happened. That and NBA, just NBA overall. I've tried to explain it to some of the other. I mean,
yeah, understandable.
No, like, I recognize that NBA news is breaking news sometimes, but.
But, I mean, if it were regular season, I wouldn't have touched it.
I thought the delivery was pretty smooth, good enunciation.
Yeah. He did thank you off the top. That's always a nice touch.
I'll give I would give maybe an 8.7 out of 10.
It's pretty solid.
Pretty solid.
We'll see how he does at the top five.
I mean, it's a learning experience. You go back there and review the tape. And
I need to go look at the film.
This is usually right around the time the podcast gets screwed up for the first time, though. When you start adding in, like, you got to multitask.
Mm-hmm. Adding responsibilities.
So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
The Top 4 at 4 brought to you by Malone and Costa Dentistry at Knoxville Smiles. It's where I go for all my dental work. They've got a state-of-the-art facility in West Knoxville on South Peters Road. Dr. Stephen Malone is my dentist. Dr. Michael Costa and his wife, Bree, do great work out there. They take pride in actually listening to you, communicating with their patients. You're not just another body on the conveyor belt over at Malone and Costa Dentistry at Knoxville Smiles. It's good stuff, man. Go over there. Let them know you heard us talking about it here on Fan Run Radio. Their number, if you want to call up and make an appointment, is 865-539-1776, and you can make your appointment online on the internets now at knoxvillesmiles.com. Let's go to the phones. El Diablo is up first today. What's up, Diablo?
Hey guys, check it in. Been a minute since I called in, but good to talk to you guys. Tucker did a great job on the top four at four. Chase Burns out of the bullpen.
Appreciate it.
All right, Chase Burns coming out of the bullpen in relief. I like it. Wait, does this make Marcus Dolander?
Dolander giving up a home run early on in the
Dolander's
game.
Dolander's getting yanked. No, Dolander, he's just missing a start due to, I guess, arm soreness or something.
Maybe
this analogy's falling apart. Go ahead, Diablo.
Maybe not first inning Dolander. Maybe second inning.
There you go. Seven. Okay, yeah.
Hey, guys, this Hattiesburg trip that we're making, are they taking a plane or how are they getting there?
That's a good question. I would hope they would fly down there. That's a long trip.
I mean, there are NCAA rules about that stuff. If you have to go a certain distance.
Yeah, you can't cram them on a bus, right?
Everything I'm reading and hearing, it seems like weather's going to be a factor. And I know that I've read somewhere where, like, Southern Mississippi's got a really good pitcher. I don't know when they're throwing him, if it's going to be the first game or the second game. But I guess my question goes to the size of that stadium and the fact that we only got 600 tickets, which virtually means that we're going to be playing down there in a hornet's nest. Would you agree?
Oh, sure. It's going to be a very hostile environment.
Yep. I worry about that. I mean, I hear folks talking about a sweep and winning. I think we'll be very, very fortunate to come out of this super regional just simply because, you know, we didn't win a whole lot of series on the road. But both series that we won, both Clemson and South Carolina, it seemed like we had a pretty good fan presence down there. And I'm not sure that we're going to have that here in this particular ballpark. So I guess my question is, how powerful is Southern Miss's home field advantage? Like, what was their home record this year?
It's a good question. I don't know. Their record was very similar to Tennessee's. And their RPI was very similar to Tennessee's. I think we were one spot ahead of them, which is strange to me because Tennessee plays in a much more difficult league. Now, maybe Southern Miss was doing something with their midweek games that drove up their strength of schedule or something like that, but those numbers were kind of incongruous to me, like didn't really fit. But we'll see. You know, as far as the environment goes, Diablo, I don't think it's going to be any louder or rowdier or more hostile than Clemson was last week. And now it'll be a little warmer down there, a little muggier. I don't think that's going to be a huge factor for these guys. I think that
what's the weather forecast for tomorrow?
Well, it's not tomorrow. It's Saturday is the first game.
Oh, okay.
I have not looked up. I'll pull it up for you here real quick. High Saturday of 91. High Sunday of 91 with a 50% chance of thunderstorms. And then a high Monday of 91. So it looks like the rain forecast is clearing up a little bit down there. But it's going to be warm. It's 92 down there right now with a feels like of 93, 37% humidity.
Hey, guys, do any of the other super regionals start on Friday? I thought ours did, so I'm glad you corrected me. Any other regional super regionals start tomorrow?
I believe they do.
They do. Let me take a look. Duke, Virginia is tomorrow. TCU, Indiana State. Florida, South Carolina. That should be an interesting
one. That'd
be fun. Oregon, Oral Roberts. Those are the four that start tomorrow.
Hey, finally, I'm going to end my call with this. You were talking about the Jokic for Denver. 30 for 30 showing a really good series on Bill Walton, if you get a chance to catch it. I know that's a little bit before some of your times. Let me tell you something. Bill Walton, buddy, back in the day, he could ball. So get a chance, check that out, and see what a big man can play like. See ya.
Thank you, Diablo. I saw some of that the other night. It
was on in the background yesterday.
Any 30 for 30 is good. They could do a 30-30 about literally anything. And I was watching one about American Gladiators over the weekend. It's fascinating. I know, right? Like, it seems stupid.
It's fascinating. That's the way he said that.
It's tickled just me. A great Sorry. It's just a great series. It is documentary filmmaking at its absolute zenith. And, yeah, the Bill Walton thing, I didn't get to see all of it, but I didn't know. I knew he was, like, hippy-dippy, weed-smoking basketball player guy. I didn't know that he had ties to the SLA, the group that kidnapped Patty Hearst in like the 1970s,
yeah.
Which I know we have a lot of listeners probably aren't familiar with that story at all. Great YouTube rabbit hole to go down.
But also we've got, I guarantee we've got, because listeners like my age, there's plenty of those folks that listen to us that fully remember being a kid and you know, there being like the cover of Time magazine and
what it was like mid-70s, 75, 76, yeah. Something like that.
I mean, yeah, like back when it was kindergarten, first grade.
So Bill Walton is playing, I believe, for the Trailblazers.
Yeah,
at that
absolutely,
time.
Yes.
And he says that FBI showed up on his doorstep wanting to talk to him, and he about his ties to, like, I guess he was real good friends with one of the guys from the SLA that Patty Hearst ran off with after they had the big shootout at their headquarters or something.
Yeah. When she threw in with him?
Yeah, she had Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. Supposedly. I've seen some people wonder if she
It's debatable for sure.
She was right around there. I mean, she was in the same age and peer group as
but
the people
she was,
that abducted her.
I watched a big thing about it a year or so ago. And from what she was pretty normal for rich girl heiress, had a boyfriend, like she was living with some guy in a committed relationship. These guys banged on the door and kidnapped her and like kept her in a closet for a month or two. Nobody knew where she was and exposed her to their ultra left-wing politics, and the next thing you know, she's robbing a bank with them.
Yeah. She just showed up. That was when she first showed up, and everybody wrote.
And she had opportunity to leave.
Yeah.
Like, she says, and
she's holding a gun.
Like, they gave her an opportunity to leave, and she didn't.
She stayed.
She was indoctrinated at the very least.
But I could also see, and I haven't gotten to that part of it yet, of the Bill Walton thing, but sometimes your friends do crazy things. People you know do crazy things.
Oh,
doesn't
sure.
Necessarily
Bill Walton was
bad.
A nut. He was a total whack job.
Oh, wackadoo. He's nutty. He's going to live on that
still is.
Dude that talked about living just off air and air and water.
Yeah, he still is.
He gets weird on ESPN.
Was
man.
Is probably. I shouldn't be using past tense.
I mean, have you seen the videos of him?
Was
biting
is
in,
and
biting,
will continue to be
biting into lit candles on his birthday for just on ESPN broadcasts. Real weird stuff, man.
I've been on some. I can't imagine what you'd have to be on to do that.
Yeah,
I was banging 7 gram rocks.
Ain't that?
Hmm. These candles are real crunchy, man.
Yeah.
That's good.
I believe he also referred to Vanderbilt's campus once upon a time as a magical arboretum. As only he could.
I wonder what John Wooden must have thought when he left. Because he was probably weird there, but it seemed like it's one of those college things.
He developed.
Yeah.
It got weirder.
You're not going to have long hair. And
I mean, it was Berkeley at the height of Haight-Ashbury and, you know, flower power and
UCLA's in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I know, but at the time, he had all that stuff going on in California.
Yeah, I think he probably held it together pretty good then, and then I wonder what John Wooden thought when he came back and it's like, oh, Bill, you grew your hair out there, buddy. Eyes a little glazed over there, a little glassy there, Bill. You're slurring your speech, man, and you smell like Cheech and Chong's van. What's going on here?
I don't know. I mean, they showed that video of him visiting with Wooden. That was in that part where they were going back and forth a little bit. It was pretty funny.
Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's
up, Philly?
How are you, Barb Brown and Tucker doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Tucker did an outstanding job. I'll give him 100%.
How about that?
First time ever.
Thanks, Phil.
That feel good?
It does.
Has Phil ever panned the new guy?
No, he's always the new guy's best friend.
Yeah.
That's how he does.
Well, they'll end up going to another show, though. That's the way things go over there. You know what?
So you're already
golden others.
You're already penciling in Tucker Harlan into a position on overtime, is what you're telling me?
That's what? I mean, that's the track record over there.
That seems to be the
pipeline. That's Phil's favorite show.
Well, I like y'all, but y'all, you know.
No, you don't, Phil. I heard what you. I heard what you see. I hear.
What? What'd he say?
I can listen. I'll hear your calls on Jake's show, Phil.
What'd he say?
Tell Russell what you call the drive, Phil. What you guys call us.
The view.
The view?
Yeah.
What's
that supposed to mean?
I mean, it's the view of that stadium you want built.
I still don't get it, but okay.
I mean, you dedicate a portion of your phone call to another show at this station every night. About half your call is just trashing me and Russell. I mean, we live rent-free in that head of yours. I'm sorry.
Yeah, pretty cool, you know.
Kind of weird that you're that obsessed.
What I want to talk about now. I guess talk about this new stadium. I hope we get one, but I'd rather get New England Stadium fixed first because we got to get Tennessee football back to where it needs to be.
What am I going to say, Bear?
You can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Hey, Bear's been paying attention.
Yep. They can do both.
Danny White's so great, then he'll get it done then, won't he? He's the athletic director.
I think there's a – I hadn't really thought about it until Russell brought it up earlier, but I think a lot of this should be Randy Boyd, given the fact that he owns multiple professional baseball teams and understands the ins and outs of building and or renovating baseball stadiums.
Well, do you think maybe Randy wants to get his done first? I mean, who knows? You know, he's a business friend.
No, because I've watched him for a long time, and he's a guy that can walk, chew gum, do quantum mechanics. You know,
I don't think the seasons overlap that much. Now, it will be interesting to see once you have the Smokies downtown and Tennessee baseball. We're all assuming the things keep rolling along well. For the month or so that those seasons do overlap, I wonder if they will be able to get it to where, you know, Smokies are in town when Tennessee's out of town and vice versa.
Probably.
Well, I'll be interested to see if they want to get this new downtown baseball park done. Does Tennessee try to get the SEC tournament in Knoxville?
I don't think they'll ever move it out of, and this could be a crazy take. I kind of like it in Hoover.
Central.
You like it at Hoover?
Yeah, it's just kind of a cool.
Nick Saban, I mean, good Lord.
Well,
I think it would be cool, Phil. I would love to see it here in Knoxville. I feel like if they are going to move it out of Hoover, where it seems to have pretty firm roots at this point, I feel like there's, you know, a couple of other places, Memphis, Nashville, that have bigger, more established minor league parks that they would probably look to before. Yeah,
First Bank is a really nice one in Nashville.
Yeah, well, I mean, Nashville definitely would be able to do it, a big city like that.
It would be fun. It just – I don't know. I haven't heard Sankey be asked about that. The one time somebody – he did kind of chirp at somebody.
Yeah. I think it was a Georgia fan.
That was strange.
Yeah.
Very unlike – very un-Sankey.
You think maybe the SEC office is kind of getting tired of Georgia now since Alabama's kind of the bridesmaid to the SEC now since Georgia's took it over?
Interesting.
He's been going to Washington, D.C. and – trying to put the clamps on the NIL, which he had no problem with up until, Tennessee got good.
Well, you know what they say, Phil, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And if the SEC if there were the powers that be that were a little bit tired of Georgia's uppityness usurping Alabama, then hey, man, as long as they don't mess with Tennessee, man, if they want to knock Georgia down a peg or two, but however they could possibly do that, then as Tennessee fans, we shouldn't be upset by that, should we?
No, but I don't think Tennessee's going to have anything to do with beating Georgia. I mean, Alabama is the team that can probably beat Georgia. We can't right now. I mean, we're going to have to get a lot better than a quarterback to beat them.
Well, you're going to have to.
Georgia's got a great defense, and we don't.
You're going to have to get better all across the board, man. I mean, just every position. Like I think we were fine at quarterback last year, and it wasn't enough to overcome them. So I mean, I just think they're so loaded. You got to just continue to chip away, man, and just get your roster better little by little each year.
I mean, all honesty, Kirby Dunn is what Fulmer should have been, but Kirby Dunn's done it.
Yeah, and hey, I thought that it was going to take Tennessee years to catch Alabama to the point that they could beat them on the field. I still don't think Tennessee's caught Alabama in terms of overall talent, but obviously they were good enough to win a game, so that doesn't mean that you're years away from being able to beat Georgia. Heupel has shown he can do more with less, so perhaps there's an opportunity this year for Tennessee to pull the upset against Georgia at home.
That's true, but Tennessee is better than Alabama at quarterback right now, and that's the reason we have a chance of beating them down there. What you think? What's all this about you trying to compare Tennessee baseball to the Atlanta Braves a little while ago? What was that all about?
So, I feel like the Braves, even though they've been doing well, like if you watch them, there's some issues. There's some holes in the lineup. Some pitchers hurt. Like they're doing great, but it feels
They don't have Freed and Wright. They're two best pitchers.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It feels like there is another level that they can get to over the course of the summer, and that's the way I feel about this Tennessee baseball team. It's like, yeah, they're doing well right now. I think they're playing well enough to make it to Omaha. But if Burke starts hitting and Maui starts hitting, like those two are capable of, it changes everything. Then it's not just – we're not talking about just getting to Omaha. Like, we're talking about getting there and doing some damage.
Well, if Tennessee should win the series down there because they're better than them. They're from the SEC. They played better competition, and Southern Miss did not do good against the SEC competition they played this year. So there's no excuse for Tony Vitello and crew not to win down there. I don't care whether they're playing in them. That crummy old stadium down there in Southern Miss with 100 degrees. I don't want to hear no excuses about sun in the dugout if they get beat.
Hashtag no excuses. Phil has thrown down the gauntlet. No excuses.
What a clown.
Win this series, Tony Vitello, or do not come home. Hashtag no excuses.
Phil's ridiculous.
Just absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, what a buffoon.
Oh!
What a buffoon of a phone call, Phil.
What's going on right now?
Be ashamed of yourself telling him not to come home.
Southern Miss lost to Mississippi State 10-9. Now, that's back in February. They lost to Ole Miss 11-5. That was in early March. They had a game against Ole Miss scheduled March 28th that did not happen. Perhaps it was rained out.
They had a bunch of rainouts in Oxford to start the year.
They lost to Alabama 13-0. That was April 11th. Coastal Carolina won 2 of 3 against them, 15-7, 20-7, and then they lost. Southern Miss won game 3, 15-7, so you had a couple shootouts there. And it looks like that's it.
But they've given up – their staff's given up some big numbers.
Well, they beat Auburn 7-2 last week.
That's their best win?
Looks like it.
What garbage Auburn team. I probably shouldn't have been hosting.
We'll talk more about it with Logan Quinton. He stops by, and he's got the crumble cookies. I'm pausing and elongating this just to see how anxious I can get Bear. What do you think, Bear? Those cookies?
He's already broken the whole protocol.
He's broken protocol. So scared that somebody else is going to touch the cookie. What if I were to get up and open this box like right now? I'm live on the air. Are you getting mad? Would this be weird if I grabbed it? If I just grabbed the whole box and just, He's so. All right, we'll be right back after this. Fan Run Radio. The drive continues. Logan Quinton is here, everybody. Hey, Logan.
What's going on, fellas?
How's it going, Logan?
Going great. How are you doing, Bear?
I'm doing fine. We're in the Supers, baby.
It's that time. Logan's appearance brought to you this afternoon by Crumble Cookies. He brought us a fresh box in here. Bear immediately took the one I wanted, the entire one. We usually just cut these up into fours. Bear just grabbed the entire cinnamon cookie and absconded with it. So rude. After telling us all break long, I don't really like these. I'm okay. It's not really a big deal. Then he says, I lied, and grabs the best-looking cookie, hoards it all fiendishly to himself.
I'm surprised there wasn't an accident. I'm surprised he didn't fumble the whole box of cookies all over the place.
Not dropping the box of cookies.
How rattled was he when I grabbed the box?
He
left his post, like got up, walked around the room.
Yeah, dude.
Forget the production board.
I had brothers, man. You're not just like you did.
I was like, I had brothers too. Like, what are we talking about?
You knew as soon as you picked that up, all bets are off at that point.
The location up in Maryville's open, right?
Yeah, West Broadway.
Okay. So now we're up to three Crumble Cookies here in East Tennessee.
Yep, with more to come. Yeah, you got Clinton Highway, you've got Turkey Creek, now you have Maryville.
Clinton Highway's my...
Yeah, that's my home field. That's
my home location.
Yeah, but all of them are great, great service. Even the one I went to when I was down in Hoover, went over there to the one in Birmingham, the Vestavia Hills area. It was awesome.
Vestavia Hills.
Yep.
Vol in Birmingham on Twitter says Hoover just announced they're doing a $24 million upgrade on the Met, so the SEC has signed a major extension for that to happen.
Yeah, they're moving that thing out of Hoover.
And I agree with what Bear was saying. It really felt like that thing was going to stick in Hoover. I know everybody wants to mention the weather. The timing of the weather is uncanny, seems like, year over year. But, like, this year, it was great. The weather was great. It happened to rain the Tennessee game, the Tennessee and A&M game. Ironically enough, but the rest of the deal was great weather, and I really am not surprised by the move. And you guys mentioned it, Nashville, Memphis were some of the minor league sites that make sense, but not a ton really do because of the capacity. A lot of those, like in Pearl, Mississippi, and the like, they just don't have the capacity to hold what an attendance could be at Hoover. One of the games I was there, second largest crowd ever, 15,000 people, and they handled it with ease. That's what I was impressed with, the capacity they have with staff and to keep things flowing with pedestrian traffic and folks in and out. Yeah, Hoover's tough to beat.
Here's what they ought to do. They ought to move the SEC's offices. They ought to move those to Charlotte, where the TV network is, where all their operations are. Yeah. I mean, that's what's running this league now anyway, is that TV network.
Yeah.
So just move the offices over there to get rid of the appearance of impropriety as far as favoring Alabama. And I feel like a lot of that would, you leave the tournament there in Birmingham. Okay, so they've got the baseball tournament. We've got the basketball tournament now. Here in Nashville, Georgia's got the football game. They're all in quote unquote neutral cities. Nobody cares that Vanderbilt's in Nashville. So, like, I feel like that's probably a pretty good trio of cities to host those championships.
Yeah, no, I agree. Charlotte would be moving some of those facilities and stuff to Charlotte. I think, like you said, it just gives away the appearance of the impropriety that you talked about. But Hoover, I mean, it's just going there. It is just such a festival in itself. I mean, it's a thing that it's a week-long thing. People camp out. And whether you want to go for a couple of games or all week, it's got a little bit of flavor for everybody. It's really convenient. The convenience factor, I think, is what's so tough to beat.
Logan Quinton in here with us. LQ, what do you think about it now that we've had a couple of days to digest, A, the fact that it's going to be down there, and B, just, what the matchup looks like? I know the 920 podcast just dropped. I can't wait to listen to that later on tonight. You and Charlie Collier, did you guys solve all the world's problems? Where are we at with this thing?
Of course. The 920 podcast just dropped on SoundCloud. You can find it on the Fan Run stream right there on the SoundCloud. Podcast will be up on the other platforms later. We're fresh off of it. But, yeah, this Vols and Southern Miss matchup is one for the ages, I think. I mean, you've got the storylines with Scott Berry. Mm-hmm. It's going to be his last series there at Pete Taylor Park. And when you compare venue to venue, I think Tennessee has the edge in terms of saying, hey, we're a city, not just a college town. We can house anybody that wants to come. We can throw block parties. And then on the Southern Miss side, their edge is, hey, we can fit more people in the confines of our stadium. And so I don't know if that was ultimately the deciding factor. Did they compare resumes? Did they feel like the whole thing was a coin flip and they compared resumes? Who knows? But hopefully the weather works out. That is one thing they're supposed to factor in. And look, I get it. You can't forecast the weather a week out unless it was just going to say 100% thunderstorms Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You can't really throw that into the mix when it's 50-50 one way or the other.
I don't know about that, Logan. I think if you're looking at it and it's a close race, I think that you can say, you look at the forecast, there's no rain in the forecast in Knoxville. And I would say if it's the other way around, let's do that just to keep it fair here. If I were on that committee and I'm looking at it and it's like, man, there's a lot of rain in the forecast in Knoxville this weekend. There's like a 50% chance every day. Meanwhile, in Hattiesburg, there's no chance of rain. I could see that being a decisive factor if I'm making that decision in a vacuum and everything else is equal, competitive-wise. Like, to me, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm sure to get the game in, Logan.
Yeah.
You know? Because my biggest fear is not – my biggest fear about rain delays is it always seems to happen. We're going to get like inning and a half into it. You've got Andrew Lindsay hot and warmed up completely. And then you have a 3 or 4 hour weather delay, and then you can't use.
Well, that favors us.
Yeah,
that favors because we have deeper pitching. Like if they're like we can afford to have one messed up start, they cannot.
Right. No, and I don't disagree with either of you. And you bring up a good point because it's a Saturday through Monday deal, and I wonder at what point that is decided.
I think it was decided when they realized that Southern Miss had played them. I think that was a deciding factor. And honest to God, I really don't have a problem with that. They played Monday.
I'm just saying if weather, going on what you guys are saying and presenting, if there is any chance of weather throwing this thing off, considering it is a Saturday through Monday deal, you don't want to extend it any longer
than that.
So, but the problem is, I mean, I'm sure you guys have pointed out, there's a couple of connections to Southern Miss one way or the other on the committee chairs, you know, with a couple of those guys. So that's one thing that I'm a little sketchy about because there's a lot of bias. Like I mentioned to you guys, the letter of the law, which is not much, the only language that says any type of effect of what the committee is supposed to look at, it just mentions location, capacity, weather. And outside of that, everything's just up to the committee to talk about and decide, and that it's open for interpretation. It's open for bias and subjectivity.
Just seed the teams 1 through 64, and all this is done ahead of time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mentioned that it was either on the podcast or the other show at least rank the teams. I'm not asking for total transparency, just a little bit of put an asterisk beside a 2 seed and say, hey, this is – you know, this 2 seed was higher than this 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they've got to do the regionals geographically. You could still do that. You could still put geography as a priority and still overall rank the seeds, because when you get into resume versus resume, Tennessee beat the higher overall seed, beat the number 4 overall seed, and Southern Miss, much lower seed. So, you know, who do you give the nod to there? But, yeah, they should do something.
Sure. Anything else on your mind, Logan, as we look ahead towards the weekend, Tennessee and Southern Miss, Saturday afternoon down there? And by the way, I was just checking the weather. There's actually more chance for rain, according to this, the forecast, which as we all know, our gospel, it always happens just as they say it will. But as we sit here today, there's actually more chance for rain here in Knoxville this weekend than there is in Hattiesburg.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. And when people were posting pictures on social media about the weather on Southern Miss. My weather app, I was pulling it up, yeah, and it was nowhere close to what I was seeing, but who knows. But anyways, it's an older club, the Southern Miss club is, and this is a team that I had circled last year because they had the second-best pitching staff only to Tennessee last year. Tanner Hall was a part of that. Hurston Waldrop, who pitches for Florida now, he was on that Southern Miss squad. But Tanner Hall still there, and he's their ace. He's their lead horse. And they couldn't hit a lick last year. That's really what – that was their downfall. But they got a lot of guys back in the lineup, and they're much, much better offensively. Slade Wilkes, 20 home runs on the year. They've got seven guys who are double digits in terms of doubles. It's been a night and day difference offensively year over year to Southern Miss, but their MO of late past few years has been the pitching program, and I really feel like their pitching coach Christian Ostrander, he's going to be that next guy. He's going to take Scott Berry's spot so they can keep that pitching program somewhat intact. It's a much different lineup than last year. Last year they didn't even score against Ole Miss. Ole Miss in this same spot, Ole Miss took them 2 games, 15-0. Just flattened Southern Miss.
You think Tennessee can get to Tanner Hall?
I think they can. But the thing that they need to do and focus on is just extending at bats.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Their approach just.
I mean, I felt like they did a pretty good job of that against Grice last Saturday until the end of the game when we're trying to get him out of there. Was it the eighth inning? And I think Maui and like. They had extended the bat. He's getting up there. And then I think Maui and Inslee came up and both got out on the first pitch.
Yeah.
And it was just like, guys, we had a game plan, man. Yeah. Stick to it.
Yeah.
It ended up working out, but we needed a miracle to do it.
Yeah, and it's tough. Like with Maui, he gets a lot of flack because it's the chase rate with Maui. Actually, if you leave it in the zone with that guy, he's really good at contact. His end zone contact percentage went up drastically the last half of the year. For a guy like Maui, it's just the plate discipline and the swing decisions, not chasing out of the zone. Tanner Hall is going to beat you more in the zone. He's going to throw for strikes. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. And we've got to get production. Speaking of Maui, we've got to get production from that leadoff spot if we're going to have success this weekend and going forward.
Absolutely. All right. He's Logan Quinton. His appearance brought to you this afternoon by Crumble Cookies. Three locations, Clinton Highway, Turkey Creek, and Miraville, now on Broadway. Go check them out. Tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. Very important. Let them know you heard us talking about it right here on Fan Run Radio. Logan, we appreciate it. Everybody check out the 920 podcast with Logan Quinton and Charlie Collier. All right, man. Give me a prediction before you walk out of here. What's going to happen this weekend?
Vols in three.
Okay. I'll be a very nervous wreck if we're playing. What time would the game be Monday, you think, roughly?
I know that 3 o'clock.
Noon?
You think so?
That would be very cool for us.
1 Eastern and
perfect
maybe noon,
for us.
Noon Central.
Hopefully, if everything went well. I'm a big believer. No, I want it to be Vols and 2.
It wrecks, create like havoc with our programming schedule.
Wouldn't you think we're going to see their ace Saturday?
Yeah, I think Saturday.
If we beat that guy, then if we can get any kind of lead on Sunday, I wouldn't be surprised if he just goes hammer down and tries to just.
Do you think they pitch Tanner Hall on Saturday with the thinking being if he gets blowed up or even if push comes to shove, this is college baseball, these guys don't care. They will turn around and throw him again Monday if they absolutely have to.
Yeah, look at Dylan DeLucia last year for Ole Miss. The guy's arm didn't fall off somehow, and that was a key to their success, and Tanner Hall fits that mold.
Russ is always contented. Back in the, how many pitches did our guy?
Ari Dickey threw 160 pitches. Kevin Copps was up to, what, 140 or something like that a couple years ago? I mean, these guys don't care, man. It's college baseball. They will.
Some coaches don't care. Our coach
is
totally
not
in that group.
Yeah, totally different.
We'll see. We haven't seen him with, like, there's a do-or-die situation, and Dolander's over there, a trophy's on the line, and he threw 116 pitches 2 days ago, and it's like, coach, put me in. I can do it. I don't blame them, man. People want to jump all over these guys, man. They're competitors. They want to win. There's a lot at stake.
Yep. If they wanted to get cute with it, they could bring him out of the pen they could hold him from the start on Saturday, see how things measure up. They could bring him out of the pen for, let's say, 50 to 60 pitches, mm-hmm. and then play for another opportunity for him to go, like you said, on like a Monday or something.
Mm-hmm. All right, Logan, appreciate you, my man. We will talk soon.
Thank you, guys.
Logan Quinton, one more time. We got to take a quick timeout. Stay with us. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online, fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app. Logan Quinton has left the building, ladies and gentlemen. There's another huge concert announcement today for Knoxville.
Am I going to like it?
I don't know. You seriously haven't heard who's coming this time?
Mm-mm. I told you, I unplugged after the show last night. I completely unplugged from everything.
It was announced earlier today that coming up September 27th, 2023, at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena.
Please don't be Tool.
Tool's already been announced.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Can't be Tool.
You had this conversation with me Monday.
Yeah, but I looked at their tour, and I didn't see Knoxville on there. Go ahead with who's coming.
What are you doing right now?
I don't know. I thought you were telling me. I'm having like deja vu, although it's real. It's not Tool.
Are you okay? Did they put something special in that cookie you ate over there?
Not that cookie, no.
I'm not a grass expert.
Bet you're glad you didn't eat it now, Russ.
Have you seen who's coming, Tucker?
No, I have not this time around.
Tickets go on sale Friday, 10 a.m., for the concert that'll take place September 27th, 2023, Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena, begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Coming to Knoxville, Nickelback.
Photograph! That'd be some good people watching.
That is amazing.
We could get our full like record store employee thing going, just go down there and people watch.
First album in 5 years, Get Rollin', was released November of last year, and they are out barnstorming.
You think it'll be sold out?
First tour is announced. There was no Knoxville show due to demand. 16 more shows were added, and Knoxville was a part of it. So some pretty big shows at the arena here recently. Lizzo, The Chicks, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, Hank Williams Jr., and Thomas Rhett are among those who have performed or will perform at UT's arena this year or next year. How about that?
You can go see GNR?
No.
I don't think so. I worked their show back when you've seen them when they're on heroin and back when they were.
I mean, it sounds kind of sad. Like, that's just one. I can see you want to go see, like, the Eagles or Crosby, Stills, and Nash, like, washed up rockers like that. It's gentle music. Like, I could see that still being good. Guns N' Roses, old.
Yeah.
Just doesn't. Like, no. You guys are in your 60s. You can't be doing that kind of music anymore. Honestly, I'd rather see Nickelback.
Whoa.
That's right.
Wow.
I can't go there with you.
I don't really want to see either one, but if I had to choose, gun to my head, I'll go see Nickelback still in their prime. They're still, what are those guys, like 40 or so probably now?
Yeah, that sounds about right, because they were like 30s. What, 2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look up how old, what's his name? Chad
Kroger.
Yeah. Whoa. You a fan?
No, I just know who he is.
Everybody knows you. Somebody's buying those albums, man. Somebody's going to those concerts. There's a reason they ain't playing the Bijou. They're playing TBA, buddy.
Chad Kroger is actually almost 50. He's 48.
I'll tell you what. Now, there was a new show that got announced for the Bijou, and I think it's either late this summer or in the fall. Mike Campbell and the Dirty Knobs.
Who the hell is that?
You're not familiar with Mike Campbell?
No, nobody is.
You're very familiar with Mike Campbell.
There's a reason he's playing.
Yeah, because Tom Petty croaked.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. Young Tucker Harlan back in the spotlight when we continue in the top five at five right after this.